Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for your word. A word that is familiar and yet strange. A word filled with visions and dreams, with challenge and comfort. May we hear it with hearts that understand and know that it is your truth for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I recently heard about a gentleman who walked into a bar and he demanded to know, who's the strongest person in here? Well, the toughest guy looks up and he says, I'm the strongest around here. And the other guy politely asks, can you help me push my car to the gas station? Now, that story, believe it or not, has something to say about Pentecost, which we are celebrating today. Pentecost is considered by many to be the birthday of the church because it is the day that we celebrate the Spirit coming upon the disciples. It was the day that the disciples and the church, as it were, left that little upper room and went into the world. Jesus, in chapter 1, verse 4 of the book of Acts, tells his disciples to not leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And now that Spirit has come, and the gospel of Jesus Christ goes into the world. However, what are rational-minded 21st century Christians supposed to make of this strange story of the first Pentecost with its sounds and its visions? There are many who believe that it happened exactly as the way it's written, and that's fine. But there are many who have trouble with that imagery, believing that that's the way it actually happened. And they feel that it really doesn't have anything to offer them. But what is happening is that it is speaking of a new spirit in the disciples, no matter how you look at it. It speaks of a new spirit in the disciples. Suddenly they are caught up in some kind of fervor to carry the mission of Jesus Christ out into the world. As I shared with the youth, have you ever had a sudden passion for something? You felt like you were on fire with a new vitality? That's a way to think about this passage. There are those who believe that the Pentecost passage, or story, is the final installment of the Easter event. In that at Easter we were given hope for new life. And then the new life comes in the fervor of a Pentecostal spirit. That the two kind of go together. Now, when I talk about Pentecostal, please understand that I am not necessarily saying that we should all become Pentecostals and begin speaking in tongues or glossolalia, as it is known. That is not what the author of Luke Acts is talking about when the disciples begin speaking in language. They are speaking literally in languages of the world. They are speaking the different language of the dispersed Jews from other countries who had come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks, which is considered to be the Jewish Pentecost. And as such, this story is a reversal of the Tower of Babel story, way back in Genesis chapter 11. In the Tower of Babel, language is used to confuse. Here, language is used to bring together, to give life and hope. But I think the connection with the Tower of Babel goes even deeper. In the story of the tower, the people are trying to reach the heavens by this tower. They are trying to be like God. It is a story of pride and self-sufficiency. God in that story uses different languages then to confuse the people so that they can't build the tower because they can't understand each other. And amazingly, well, maybe not so amazingly, when you think that there's a group of people that sat down and came up with this thing that we call the lectionary, both of these stories, the Tower of Babel and the Pentecost story, are connected in our psalm today. That's why I chose the psalm and not the Tower of Babel story for our Old Testament reading. And I think we first must realize that the writer of the Psalms were very much the spiritual writers of the Old Testament. As we talked about in our class last Tuesday, spiritual people or writers were not concerned with things like who's included, what are the rules, what's right, what's wrong. They were concerned about what God had to say to them. How God was active in their own personal life. And today in our reading from Psalm 104, we hear the psalmist praising God. The Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann writes regarding these, what the psalmist writes. The praise of Israel asserts that all in creation, including the frightening sea monsters, Leviathan and Chaos, are God's beloved creatures whom God enjoys. The Creator is in a comfort zone with the exhibit of chaos and invites us to safety even there. The praise of Israel confesses that God is the guarantor of the food chain, providing all that is needed for life, daily bread for all creatures. The praise of Israel affirms that God's Spirit is the reliable source of life. God's constant inhaling and exhaling are the sure life support for the whole world. In other words, the psalmist realizes that he, she cannot exist apart from God. That they need help pushing the call of life. We are reminded in the psalm that we are profoundly dependent upon God, who is the source of life and energy. Now, that's hard to hear when we live in a society that tells people, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's easy to say I'm a self-made person. All that I am and all that I have is a result of my work. I'm sure if we're honest with ourselves, we can all think of times that we've thought that way and perhaps even used those same words. I came across a little piece, though, that to me kind of shows the ridiculousness of such thinking. I gave a little tea party this afternoon at 3. It was very small, 3 guests in all. I, myself, and me. Myself ate all the sandwiches while I drank the tea. It was also I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me. When we are self-sufficient, that's almost the tone that our life takes on. In a sermon on the Pentecost passage, the Reverend Dr. Barbara Lundblad, who I had the joy of listening to last summer at Chautauqua, talks about Pentecost ending too soon. She mentioned that we all enjoy the sounds and the sights of mighty winds and tongues of fire speaking in languages, and we sing our Pentecost hymns and we leave. We leave it there. But she says, that's not the place to end the story. And that's why I added those last 10 verses of chapter 2 in 2nd. Listen to some of what we read there again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate with their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. Dr. Lundblad says about this, Pentecost ends too soon. If it has nothing to do with possessions, with wealth and poverty, with what we call economics. Economics is from the Greek word oikos, which means household. How do we live together in God's household? She says, well, I know economics is a subject so complicated our eyes kind of glaze over at the mention of it. But God is very interested in economics, about what we do with our possessions and portfolios. She goes on to say, a Pentecost church will reach out to people of every language and tongue. A Pentecost church will call young and old women and men to prophesy. A Pentecost church will preach and baptize, but the story always ends too soon if a Pentecost church isn't concerned about economics. But I think it's more than the economics. It goes back to the idea of the sin of self-sufficiency. If we think we did it all ourselves, then we do ourselves, all of those who helped us get where we are, and more importantly, God, a great disservice. It is out of a sense of respect for human life, of a religious sense of vocation, that people taught us. And people who taught those, and people taught those who taught us. People fed us. And people grew the food and produced it so those who fed us could do so. No one of us can claim to be self-sufficient. And the psalmist reminds us that it is God, through God's energizing spirit, that sustains us with all we need. And you know, maybe that's why some people feel so far from God. Because they've lost that sense of dependency. That sense of dependency on God. Could that be said of you? You know, the story of Pentecost begins with that one little four-letter word back in chapter 1. Wait. Pentecost reminds us that we need to wait on God. Because waiting on God reminds us of our dependency on God. That we need something for God, from God. So the question is, what do you need? Where have you felt alone? You know, God's the strongest one in your life. So maybe the question to ask is, what car do you need God's help to push? It's that kind of thinking that creates a Pentecostal community.